Let us all say amen. I want to thank all those that have gone before me in making this worship to our Lord one that will be acceptable. Again, I want to thank you for choosing to worship with us on this afternoon as we continue to study in the book of James in the afternoon. And I want to thank Brother Brooks for the fine job that he did this morning in his continuation of the book of Hebrews. I want to say to those that may be worshiping with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are our VIPs, our very important persons. We want you to know also some foundational things that we find in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 23, Jeremiah recognized something that we all should recognize when he said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Excuse me. "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized that a spiritual walk in this life was not in man. Man needed something to guide his steps. And Jesus shared with us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, the location for which that can be found when he said in Matthew 6:33 in his Sermon on the Mountain, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." God has a righteousness that man would find in the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, knowing that he was a teacher, Jesus answered and said unto him in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus shared with Nicodemus how one that he said to seek, how one can enter into the kingdom of God, which did not happen until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, which was the first opportunity for one to be added to the kingdom of God or the Church of Christ. And the Bible records for us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." If you're going to be saved, you have to be added to the church that the Bible speaks of. And so at the closure of this lesson on this afternoon, I will share with you specifically what one must do, five acts that one must comply with in order to enter into that Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 that one should see. We want to thank you for being with us on this afternoon. And so for all of us that are in our listening audience on this afternoon and looking at the epistle of James or the letter of James, as I said before, it is a simple yet serious letter of Christian principles, the design of which was to enable the readers of the letter to resist the sin that are normal to them. Also, how to deal with difficult social problems that existed. The book of James is a road map for Christian living. If you want to excel your level of Christian living, then the book of James is that book that one should study as we're doing now. On last week, we closed began on James chapter number 3 and 3 points from the previous lesson, if you were listening on last week, were that teachers have a great responsibility on influencing others. And James also talked about the influence that the tongue has in our body. And he also said, as he closed on last week in our lesson, that the tongue should not be offering blessings to God and then cursing man who's made in the image of God. James said, you ought not be able to get blessings and cursing from the same tongue. However, if we follow the words of God and the roadmap for Christian living, we can shore up our tongue. We can be teachers that influence those to do those things that are right. And so on this afternoon, we want to speak from the question that James asked in verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let me first lay down some foundational things concerning knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the possession of facts or information. That's knowledge. When we get information, that now is knowledge. And those are facts, that they are true. Wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge. Wisdom, human wisdom, is the proper application of the knowledge. You have knowledge or information, and when you properly apply the knowledge, that's wisdom from a human standpoint. However, spiritual wisdom comes from God. Spiritual wisdom comes from God. James made that point in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, he talked about spiritually, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, God has given to us liberally in the form of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. God has given us his wisdom in a book. And that wisdom were given to men who were guided by the Holy Spirit, where Peter said in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and the verse is number 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, or is not of no one man, or is not man's interpretation. Peter said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of a man, but holy men. And they were holy because of what they possessed, not how they lived, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or guided by the Holy Ghost. So we have remember we talked about in previous lessons, when you talk about God, there is only one God. With the word God means the divine nature. However, three persons have that divine nature. The Father, John 4:23-24, and the Son, John chapter 20, verses 27 and 28, and then the Holy Ghost has that, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 3. So the Godhead all possess that divine nature. And so we, wanting to be spiritual, James asks, who is a wise man? And endue with knowledge among you. James says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So James now is talking about, when he said wise, he was talking about a skilled teacher. He says, let him get an understanding of the word of God. And then he says, notice what he says now. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and a meekness of wisdom. So James is saying, let him and let every Christian prove it by a godly life filled with good works along with meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? James said, let him show it. Prove it by living a godly life. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, in verse number 27. We're talking about living such a life. In Matthew 20, in verse number 27, the Bible says, and whosoever, Jesus talking, will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus came to serve those. Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. And that's why the Bible records in Acts 20 and Acts 10 and verse number 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were opposed of the devil, for God was with him. And when we have God with us, we are influenced by the word of God. And so Jesus went about doing good, but he also talks about having meekness of wisdom. And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 11 and the verses number 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, notice, meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. When you take the yoke that Jesus had, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When you become meek and lowly in your heart, Jesus said, you will then find rest for your soul. And then James began to talk about the difference between wisdoms. In verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, he says, glory not and lie not against the truth. James says here, envying means an unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. James says, not only that, you have strife when you are moved or motivated by your selfishness that's in your heart. James said, don't boast and lie not against the truth. There were Christians when James was writing that were unhappy and selfish in their hearts, which drove their decision making. Sometimes we become unhappy and selfish in our hearts, and then that drives our decision making. Understand this, selfish ambition can lead to sin. Selfish ambition can lead to sin. When I become unhappy and selfish in my heart, James says, don't boast about it. Don't be arrogant. And don't you lie against the truth. James says concerning this type of wisdom, which is sinful in nature. Verse 15, James says, this wisdom descended not from above. You didn't get it from the Godhead, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. See, when we were in the world, we were not only earthly, but we were also sensual. Sensual means the wisdom from corrupt desires and affection. Well, affection, we find that when Peter wrote his letter in 1 Peter chapter number 4, Peter talked about how the change should be made in the Christian that James is talking about. In 1 Peter 4, verse number 2, Peter said that he no longer, talking about the Christian, should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentile when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. James said that life should have passed. That's that wisdom that is earthly. When you have that, where you have those desires and affections that are sinful and sensual, they are influenced by the devil. Understand this. We can only be influenced by outside of ourselves doing something. We have two influences in the world today, either from the devil or from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Those are our influences, how we can be influenced. You're going to be influenced by one or the other. Notice what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1. Paul said, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly or openly that in the latter time some, talk about Christians, shall depart from the faith. There's only one. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil has doctrines. Those doctrines seek self-gratification. You know, sometimes those of us, we come to worship and we want to change the worship. We want to jazz it up. It's about self-gratification. Those are ideas, thoughts from the devil. You know, we teach the Word of God in its purity and simplicity. James says, back in James chapter 3 and verse number 16, talking about that type of spirit, that James says, verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James is talking about those in our heart, those that where there's envy and where there's strife. James says there's also confusion, and confusion is a state of disorder. When you are experiencing mental and emotional conflict, uncertainty about what is happening. So now we call confusion. Yeah, but when you stay with the Word of God, when you know the providence of God, you don't become confused. Your wisdom is not based on the earth. It's not sensual. It's not devilish. And it's not low in morality. It's that which James is about to speak of. So be mindful that we can have wisdom that's from the earth. And you will know this because an individual is envious and carries strife. And what strife does is bring confusion. But when you have those Christians that follow the Word of God and know what the Word of God teaches, we know that the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Here, there's no confusion. Be careful with those that want to cause confusion and disorder in the Lord's church. That's sinful. But Paul shared with us how we deal with them in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. Paul said, "Now I beseech ye, brethren," he said, "mark or watch them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned." And Paul said, "and avoid them or turn away from them." When people come bringing mess and trying to start confusion, James, Paul said, mark them and then avoid them. Because that wisdom that they have is earthly, sensual, and devilish. But now James talks about there are Christian attitudes of the heart that James talks about in James chapter 3 and verse 17. James says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy." James said, now there is a knowledge of what is proper. That comes from the Bible. James said, this knowledge that comes from above, that I just talked about, where it came from, 2 Peter 1:20-21, it was those men that were guided by the Holy Spirit, by God, to pen these things that we're reading today. It is first pure. In other words, it is a goodness that's not contaminated. And so what James does here, he lines up with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And the verse is number 8. Note, talking about pure. Jesus says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If your heart is pure, if your heart has spiritual wisdom And if you follow it, we'll talk about what that is when we close our look at earthly versus spiritual wisdom. Jesus said, they shall see God. So this wisdom from above is not only pure, but it's peaceable, not liking or wanting to fight or to argue. That's that type of spirit. So sometimes you can have a spirit that is just argumentative, like to fuss, like to argue. Those type of individuals, I don't mind staying away from them when I can. I'll deal with them when I have to. But those types like to just argue and fuss. But notice what the Bible says when you talk about a peaceable heart. In Colossians chapter 3 and the verses number 15, Paul said to the Colossians, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Remember I told you, it's an attitude in the heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that's the peaceableness that James was writing about. Then he said it needs to be gentle. Gentle is an attitude of fair in dealing with one another, as well as a calmness. You know, I'm going to be fair in dealing with someone, but also there's a calmness in my spirit as I deal with the individual. James said also, easy to be entreated. We'll listen carefully to what others have to say and willing to yield to what is right. That's what easy to be entreated means. I'm willing to listen to what you have to say, and then if what you have to say is right, I will yield to that which is right. It ain't my way or the highway. It's what is right that settles the matter. And then James said also, it should be full of mercy. Mercy simply is a desire to help others in distress. When you see people that are overwhelmed and they're stressed, those brothers and sisters in the Lord that are overtaken, those in the spirit of meekness want to help them that are in distress. James said, full of it, mercy and good fruits, which are your actions. Your actions show that you are full of mercy. Then he says, without partiality. Partiality does not doubt, and you're stable in your religious views. Nobody can shake me off of the one church. I know the church is right. And without hypocrisy, meaning my faith is genuine. This is character based on the principle of true Christianity. It's not dishonest. It's not hypocritical. It is genuine. James said, these are the attitudes from wisdom from above. And so as I close, and then he said in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, it is sown in peace for those that make peace. And let me close with a case study of earthly and spiritual wisdom. I want to identify what earthly wisdom is in a practical sense, and then how spiritual wisdom is shown. You turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10 and the verse is number 38. Luke chapter 10, and the verse is number 38. And again, we're looking at earthly versus spiritual wisdom. And Jesus, or Luke, gives us two individuals by which we can determine this from. In verse number 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he," talking about Jesus, "entered into a certain village," Bethany, "and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." It wasn't the first time Jesus had been there. She received Jesus in her house. The Bible says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at the Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, you want to know about Mary. Mary was one that had a quiet, teachable, and devoted spirit. That's Mary. Mary was here today. Wouldn't miss no worship service. Will be on time to worship service. She was healthy. She was going to be there. And she's one that is teachable. Her spirit is devoted to the word of God. How do we know that? Because she sat at the feet of Jesus. And she heard his word. Be careful when you take a break from listening to the word of God. I've gone to worship Sunday morning. I'm a break Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. I'm going to take a break. Be careful. That's earthly wisdom. In verse number 40, the Bible records, "But Martha," Mary's sister, "was cumbered about much serving." The word cumbered means she was perplexed with her duties, and they were weighing heavy on her. Sometimes, as members of the church, we got too much on us, and it's wearing us down. And then anxiety comes. And not only that, emotional strain becomes a part of our everyday life, or just dealing with life. It's too much. Not for Mary, but it was for Martha. Be mindful when the most important things about life is money and pleasure. Yeah, be careful. And the cares of the world, those are the things that are your focus. So Mary, because of all of this, she went to Jesus and said, "Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, or tell her, therefore, she need to help me. She need to help me." And some of us in life put living before what's spiritual. Sometimes people want to make you move because they are not in a good place with themselves. We have those that want to make you move because things are not right with them. Those are their cares and their emotional strain that's leading them from doing what is right. And it's almost like Martha went and kind of jumped Jesus. Jesus. You know, look at Mary. Can't you just tell her to come in here and help me? And Jesus responded to her spiritually. So Martha gives us a view of earthly wisdom, as opposed to Mary that was spiritual. Jesus responded to her as we ought to respond to people. When they ask us something, respond to them. We're going to always respond as a Christian and do it in a spiritual way. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. Anytime you see in the Word of God something repeated, that is putting emphasis on it. He didn't say Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Jesus here dealt with Martha's restless agitation of spirit. Martha was kind of worked up. She was agitated. But Jesus dealt with her. Martha was concerned with the earthly, about service. Jesus didn't ask you to do all that stuff you're doing. That's on you. And sometimes we get cumbered about stuff that's not important. It can wait. Jesus now points Martha to what's spiritual and heavenly. Jesus said, but one thing, now you got many things, he told Martha, that you are troubled about many things. Sometimes we allow life to trouble us. You know, I'm dealing with my job and my retirement and my 401k and you know, what I'm going to do with my retirement and my medical bills. Troubled about many things. Jesus said in response to Martha, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The one thing that's needful in the life of a Christian is receiving and doing the will of God. We can allow ourselves to be troubled by many things. Jesus wanted Martha to know Mary chose the good part. Mary's going to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to the Word of God. And I'm saying to all of us, if you haven't, you need to develop a heart. The Bible says, James says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I'm saying to all of us, including myself, make time in your schedule where you can just sit down and get the Bible and get your study aids, your concordances, your biblical dictionaries, and get you an understanding of the Word of God. And it should be one where Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. And let me turn that quick to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5 and verse number 6 when he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember what Jesus told him before? that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is the word of God. You ought to make time in your schedule when you want to grow as a Christian, study the word of God and incorporate it in your life that you can do more the will of God and do good to others. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Earthly wisdom versus spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom comes from above, comes down from God. We have the Bible to direct us. I want to thank you this afternoon for listening to the Word of God. If you're not a Christian, how does one become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ? You'll find, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. It begins with you hearing the gospel. And Paul talked about that. Verse 15. So as much as me as in me is, verse 15, Romans 1, 15, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the gospel was three facts, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Those are that's the gospel, the facts of the gospel. You have to believe that. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God to save a man is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I obey the gospel of Christ? That's found in Romans chapter 6, because right now you're in your sin. And Paul reminded them in Rome, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You don't continue in sin. He said in verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he told them how. So you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sin, meaning you turn to Christ. And then the Bible tells us we make the confession written in Acts 8, in verse number 37, where the eunuch said before he was baptized, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make the statement of what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you conclude that. Paul said, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, that's water baptism, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that newness of life that you walk in is one as a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ. And we know there's only one church because in Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ, descriptive phrase, salute you. So there's anyone that would like to obey the Lord that's not a Christian, we encourage you to get with the person that invited you on the call so that we can make it happen and have you added to the Lord. For those of us that are Christians, we've talked this afternoon about earthly wisdom versus that which is spiritual, which comes from God. Thank you very much for your listening on this afternoon.